Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. It's a pop dive. It's like a before the 90 days pop dives. That's what we're going to call it. I know I promised a Halloween pop dive, but you know what? Change of schedule, because guess what? I got Darcy from Before the 90 Days, an exclusive interview. Before we get to Darcy, I have Adam Salandra, friend of the show. Adam, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm so honored to be here for this. The people want. I wrote a post on the Everything Iconic Facebook group, my only one,
right,
asking how do I start 90 Day Fiance and or Before the 90 Days. The response was so overwhelming, and these people are the best people.
Everyone, the Everything Iconic group?
Yes.
I know, it's truly the best.
Oh my God, I love you guys. So you helped me. You helped me figure it out, and it brought me here today to discuss it.
Right. Well, and I think it's sort of confusing to jump into this franchise. That's how I felt, and we had texted about it too.
Like, yes.
Because if you don't know the franchise, I think it's like, where do I start? Because there's 90 Day Fiance, and then currently on the air is a show called Before the 90 Days, but it's called 90 Day Fiance, like, colon or whatever,
right. Yeah.
Before the 90 Days. So it's like an offshoot, and Before the 90 Days is in its second season. The other one has done multiple seasons.
Right, but it's also like, if I have to watch them all, great, I'll do it. But if you if that's not the case, to get the max, like if someone said, hey, I want to start Dallas, I'd be like, great. To make sure that you get it all in, start season two.
Right.
Season one, great, fine. But,
I know.
You know, so that's why I was asking. And people came through, and it ended up being, which I think is what you did, Before the 90 Days is what we started with.
Right. I started with season two of Before the 90 Days, episode 5, which I was texting you, and you were like, what the fuck?
I don't even say what you told me.
No, it's not. It doesn't even make any sense. But then I went back, and I watched, then I went back to season one, and Matt actually watches it with me, which is weird because he won't watch The House.
I did find that to be very exciting.
He like loves it.
You found a common ground.
Adam, not only that, but he's like watching the main version of 90 Day Fiancé without me.
That's what's wild.
Yeah. He's like watching it without me. Like I'm watching Dallas or Orange County or whatever, and he's busy.
If my boyfriend didn't watch the same shows as me, I don't know what we would do together. Like that is what we do. So I don't know. You guys go to Home Goods. Even that's out.
We find common shows. Like we just started that Atypical. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. Well, I can't think of what it is.
It's on Netflix. It's sort of like a sitcom. It's a sitcom, but a little bit more of a dramatic sitcom. And then we watched that. And then we just binged Insecure.
Oh, I do want to watch
that. Oh my God, Adam, it's so good. This most recent season is fantastic. And that's a great binge show.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Because
They're
30 minutes. Yes. And I feel like the episodes are too short.
Oh, you want more.
So if you watch it in real time, I feel like the episodes end up being disappointing. This is just my POV. But I feel like which this whole fucking podcast is really.
It's your show. It's fine.
But I feel...
Oh no.
The robots are starting. Sorry, everyone, for that. The robots are taking over my apartment. But the Insecure, they're short, and I feel like when an episode ends, I feel like it's not enough.
Yeah.
And you like it so much, you want more. So Insecure, Matt and I both binged the entire most recent season, and it was the best weekend. But then it was also so disappointing when it was over.
And you didn't even start from the beginning. So you
No,
could
it was just one season. Just one season. There are only 8 episodes.
Oh, there's
season.
Only been one? I thought there were 2.
No, we're on season 3.
Yeah.
But there's 8 episodes per season.
Got
so
it.
It's short.
It's short.
And there's the hottest guys on Insecure too.
Oh, why didn't you tell me?
I'm telling you right now.
That's what, I'm telling you right why now. I make most decisions in TV.
So you started watching Before the 90 Days.
Yes.
Season 1.
Season 1.
And what are you thinking so far?
My first thing that I wrote down is that it is cringier than The Comeback.
Right.
And that's a big statement for me. And I love The Comeback, as right. you know. But this is real life, and it is some of it's so awkward and cringy.
And you can't believe that this is real life, and you can't believe that people are doing this.
You cannot believe it.
They're literally telling the camera, they're telling themselves, the camera, the crew,
and
they're saying, we're getting married, or I'm going to meet, but they're meeting these people for the very first time in person.
Now, I'm sure we've all dabbled in having a crush that was perhaps a little unrealistic.
Right. Like, I say all the time, I'm going to marry Henry Cavill.
Sure.
And but, fuck him.
Yeah. We often usually tell him to sit on your face, which is maybe more realistic. But you get into a zone where you think you're, like, when you're head over heels for someone,
right,
you don't see clearly. Absolutely. We've all done it. I've done it most of my life.
Right.
However, when a man, who's the one, I don't remember their names, but I think I wrote them down. But did you watch the first season?
Yes.
Okay. Paul and Corrine. This little man,
right,
travels by boat through an Amazon river for 3 days. He has more phobias than anyone I've ever seen.
Right.
So how is he brought cases and cases of things to protect himself. At no point in the struggle was he like, is this like a,
like maybe,
is this going to work out?
I mean, it's shocking. I don't really like Paul. I don't like that couple that much.
No, well, now that's where it gets cringy for me.
Right.
But I do watch for that reason.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the cringe is fun. People have asked about watching it and I find it very funny, but I think I have a sick sense of humor in some ways. And it's, I think it goes back to loving The Comeback so much, where
sure,
the cringiness makes me laugh.
Oh, I'm crying, right, hysterically, of course.
Right. But I think there's a certain amount of, there's plenty of people out there who might turn it on and just get the cringe. And they're like, how could anyone like this?
Yeah.
Because the people aren't really likable. They're not naturally funny. Of course, we have one of them on the show later. Coming up.
Except for her. But wait, I have a question. Do you think from a producer standpoint, they do intend for it to be funny, right? Or are they just making a show with what they have and we have sick sense of humor?
I think the editors and stuff must, they have a sense of humor. They must try to give us some funniness, some funny.
Or these guys, they're doing it on their own. Right.
I mean, I think you mentioned Valerie Cherish, and I think Darcy, who's coming up on the show, I feel like her struggle throughout season one when she goes to Amsterdam, and I feel that Jesse is not only really mean to her,
yes,
like he's very mean to her on camera, I think.
Yeah.
But also his, like, mom is mean to her. And, like, there's other things. And even in Amsterdam, it's like she is being forced to work out with this,
yeah,
guy, right? Like,
she's, and I love, he's like, I don't know if it's just her energy. Maybe it's an American thing. Or if this is really her, like, that's a problem.
Well, she just is smiling through everything, right?
Yes.
So she's putting on this happy face and she's smiling through all this stuff that is just being piled on her. And that's what's so cringy. But that's what I found. That's what made me fall in love with it. Like Darcy's story, I found just some of the best TV ever. And then it gets really dark. Like you haven't gotten to season two yet.
No. And that's what I want to hear, because I was just, right, telling you before this, like what, from the point that I'm at in trying to catch up, the fact that they're in season two is blowing, right, my mind, right, because it doesn't look like it's going well. And I haven't honestly gotten that far, but he's just very like, we'll see what happens, which, I mean, of course, that's very, as it should be. We'll see what happens, right, not just expecting, but it seems like we know what's going to happen. It's not going to work out.
I thought the same thing. And then season two, they come back, and I'm just, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Season two is Jesse coming to the U.S.
Oh, I can't
so
wait.
Season one is Darcy going to Amsterdam. And I got the impression Jesse was just coming here for like modeling or something like that. And we're going to talk to Darcy about that. I'm curious to hear what she has to say. But I feel like that he really strung her along to do a season two.
Yeah.
Do you find him attractive?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I agree. Speaking of attractiveness, Darcy has such a glow up between season one and season two.
She does.
Yeah, like Darcy, I mean, I thought she looked great in season one, but
yeah,
in season two, she got some new hair. It did something with her makeup. Like, she looks really great.
You know
great
what? It's just like our housewives. They see that first season, right, and they say, let me make a few tweaks.
Right.
And I'm jealous of that. I see videos of myself and I'm like, oh, I need to make a few tweaks too, but I don't have that season one money.
Right.
Yet.
But so season two, Darcy and Jesse have so much history between them now,
yeah,
at this point. Okay.
Certainly.
And there's a couple moments. There's one scene where there's like a shoe fight. Mm-hmm. Like, it's alleged that Darcy throws a shoe at Jesse.
Oh.
We don't see it on camera, which is very upsetting. And I feel this way with Housewives. It's like, how can you have something that integral?
We need a cameraman there at all
times. How could that happen? Like, I don't understand why these places don't just put a GoPro up.
Yes.
Like, they're at the very minimum, bare minimum. If you're on a reality show, there should be a GoPro in every room. That doesn't cost much money. It doesn't have to be great footage.
I'll literally lend mine. I don't use it.
Right.
I mean,
no one does.
It shouldn't be that hard. Yeah.
Everyone I know has a GoPro. No one's used it
so
once.
So just between the two of us, we can set them up. So I don't know what the problem is.
Right. It's like, just have it going. Just for that kind of occasion where someone throws a shoe, I need like some sort of security camera footage of it.
Need.
That's number one. But the fight is so bizarre, and I'm so curious to hear what Darcy has to say. Like, I want to know the behind the scenes of that. And then there's an episode where they go to a grocery store.
Mm.
And Jesse and Darcy, I don't know, you see this in season one, too. It's like every month they'll be, like, hating each other. And they'll be like, well, he's the love of my life. You know, I love him.
Constantly.
We're meant to be together.
Literally constantly, yes.
It's like the moment you think that, how could they possibly continue on, all of a sudden it'll flip and they'll be like, well, we love each other. Love my life.
Now, let me ask you this, since you're further. Does she ever get to a point questioning him? Because we saw from the beginning, he was like, oh, you know, we'll see how it goes, and her energy's whatever.
Oh, right, right.
But she's, from where I'm at, she's all in with just, yes, I do love him, though.
No, in season two, you could definitely see a shift in Darcy, where she, you can tell she's kind of over it. She's still optimistic, because I think she's an optimistic person at heart. But in season two, you can definitely see she's starting to question things. She throws a shoe at him.
How much do you think is lust? Because...
I mean, lust for camera time or lust for each other?
Well, that's a good point. But forget that altogether. Lust for him. That, like, if he's not treating her well.
I hope I'm not coming across, like, I really do love Darcy and Jesse's story. Like, I don't mean to speak ill of Darcy, because I really find her so compelling. And the fact that really any of these people are willing to share this part of themselves on camera for a TV show is shocking to me.
When you tried to explain to me how to watch it, you said just... all Darcy and Jesse parts. So I can attest to that.
I also like Angela and Michael, although Angela...
Oh my gosh.
She is very problematic. But Angela and Michael on camera, they're very compelling to me. Like, to watch. It's shocking.
Danny, you posted that clip of the bag incident.
Yeah.
That's all I know of them. And I'm obsessed with them. Right. I can't wait to get to them.
Right. And I find the best way to watch this show, because they are so long. Like, I love this show now. Yeah. I'm newly obsessed, addicted, whatever. But they are very long episodes. So if you have any sort of time constraints, if you're thinking about hopping in, my recommendation is to hop in, see which couples you like. Maybe you'll like Jesse and Darcy. Maybe you'll like Angela and Michael. Maybe you'll like somebody else. Find the ones you like and fast forward to their scenes, because it's pretty easy. And you get, like, they usually, every episode, they'll have 5-minute chunks of the couple. So they'll do 5 minutes with one couple, then they'll do a few other couples, then you get back to that first couple. So it's really easy to fast forward if you don't like a couple.
That's true. And you recommended that. And I wish I did it, but they all hooked me in their own way.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching full episodes now, too, by the way.
Great. Great. You're all in.
I
can't believe Matt's beating you, like, watching more. This is a wild development.
But it's good. So then in season two, I want to talk about they were at the grocery store, Jesse and Darcy, and there's this scene where they're cooking a steak.
Hmm.
It is one of the most bone-chilling, cringy scenes I've ever seen across any platform of media. And the whole time, they're trying... Darcy's kids, she's got her girls there. They're having a family dinner, and they're cooking these steaks. And Darcy's trying to smile through it, and Jesse's being mean, and he's trying to control the way the steaks are cooked. And Darcy's saying, you know, you got to cut it on a bias. She keeps saying, you got to cut it on a bias, which
is
not a
trying to say.
Right, right. It's like not, it's a Ramona-ism. Or like,
yeah, yeah.
You know how Ramona,
of course,
Housewives always says, like, I'm going to be on her, like, white rice, or, you know, like, just Darcy kept saying, I got to cut it on a bias.
You got to cut it on a bias, babes. It stays juicy. Honey. I'm just helping you. We're doing this together, right? I've worked in restaurants, so, okay.
I'm done.
She was trying to say you got to cut it, like, at an angle.
Sure.
You know when you cut steak against the...
I've never cooked a steak, but...
Oh, my God, really?
Even still, I know not to say cut it on a bias.
She kept saying... I'm going to ask her about it, because she kept saying, just got to cut it on a bias, babe. Babe, you know, you just got to cut it on a bias, babe.
You got to cut it on a bias, babe.
And he was, meanwhile, just fuming. And at one point, he storms out of the house in front of the girl. I swear to God, I don't know that I've ever seen anything on TV. That was the moment where I was like, this is the greatest television show of all time.
I'm so excited.
Good. It's so good. Okay, so the final episode of this season of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, it airs this Sunday, October 14th, with a special tell-all episode on TLC. And one of the other things I want to mention in the last week's episode or the week before, Michelle Collins, who's one of the funniest people ever.
For sure.
Like, ever. The quickest wit. I always say she's like a Tasmanian devil of pop culture.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Quick. She did this live special. I don't know if she's hosting the one after the finale, but she did a live special a couple weeks ago where she would interview people. Like, she interviewed Darcy's sister, and it was so funny. Oh, I loved it.
Is it? Wait, that was on TLC, like after?
Yeah, it aired right after.
I can't wait to finish these and then start watching in real time next season.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's good to be on board.
I mean, that week when I was watching the Michelle thing, it recorded Michelle's live special right after. And it was maybe 3.5 hours of this show in a night. It was like the whole Sunday night.
And you were just okay with that. I have a feel.
I was in. Yeah. I watched every minute.
When you talk to her, do you think you're going to get like how she really feels now, or is she gonna have to pretend? Like,
I think she'll be honest and open. And I don't want it to sound like I really do love her on the show. She was the one who hooked me. I find her so interesting. Now, I also did some research, and her sister had a pilot that they did called like Twin Life or something. You could find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And at one point they were both married and living under the same roof.
Oh.
With their kids, and they filmed this pilot. So I'm very curious to hear about that whole story. Well, but she seems the type, I don't think she's a bullshitter, so I don't think she's going to.
Yeah, I feel that too, for sure.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking. I'm hoping she's like, let me tell you how awful he really was. Or that she's still obsessed with him. I'd be interested to hear that too.
Right. And I'm definitely team Darcy in this whole situation. Like, same. I feel that Jesse's very mean to her, and she seems to want to try to make it work, and he just shits all over her.
He is very attractive, and if he wasn't, he might be unbearable to watch.
Well, oh my God, I also have to mention this. So on Michelle, when she was doing that after show or whatever, she was interviewing Darcy's sister, and Darcy's sister is dating a guy or engaged to a man in another country who is a fitness model. He's way better looking than Jesse, by the way, in the one photo that they showed on screen.
Sure.
But he's very good looking. And so my theory is, I don't know this for sure, but I feel like Darcy and Jesse might be done, but Darcy's sister will be on either 90 Day Fiancé or before the 90 days. That's what I'm predicting, because she's engaged to someone overseas.
Daniel, she was telling Darcy not to do it.
Right. Meanwhile. Have you ever dated a man from another country?
I wish.
Just because they were a fitness model.
Honestly, that would be the only reason I need it, unfortunately. And I'm a sucker for an accent to the point of embarrassment. Mm. Although I actually kind of find his annoying.
I do too.
But I love an accent.
What's your favorite? What do you think is the sexiest accent?
I can't handle a man from Australia.
Yeah.
Because they always look as good as they sound.
Right.
Actually, sometimes that accent is ridiculous. Like, why are you packing 12 syllables into a one syllable word with the vowels?
Right.
No, I can't actually do it at all, but that would be
put
my
another
choice.
Shrimp on the that's
now that was that a really good one. Either way, we can't do them, but we would like to do
would
them.
Like to do
let's
them.
Just say mm-hmm. Yeah,
I also want to say that all the couples have different stories, so some of them are a little bit more serious, some of them are a little bit more funny.
Right.
They are all different. So we're talking about the cringiness of Darcy and Jesse, but and Michael and Angela, those are the stories that I relate to the most. But of then course. There's also things like a miscarriage happening, and there's more serious topics. So I don't want people, if they've never watched, to go into it and thinking it's all going to be just ha ha ha.
Oh yeah, no, it's not. No, we are doing that, but that is not the case.
Right.
In fact, if you don't find it funny, you might find it unbearable, like depressing, but that's life.
I want to play a little clip of Darcy and Jesse, and then, you know, we'll take a break, then we'll play a clip of Darcy and Jesse, and then we'll get to Darcy interview. Any other final thoughts?
I love it. Thank you for introducing me to this world.
Of course. And while we're here, I want to tell everyone to find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Join that Everything Iconic group. For bonus episodes, head to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Adam, where can people find you on social media?
At Adam Salandra.
I feel so stupid doing this. I do that same thing every time, you know?
Well, you have to.
I've gotten good at it, but it feels really annoying.
You know what? It's quick.
Right.
If people don't like it, there's a little 15-minute 15 seconds scroll forward, they can just
right. Here we are talking about it.
Yeah. So this won't be 30 seconds.
I want to thank Samson Technologies for sponsoring this podcast. That Halloween Pop Dive will be next Monday. We have a bunch of Halloween Pop Dives coming, so I'm super excited about that. It's my birthday this week on the 9th. Thursday will be a Bravo episode. I might be drunk for that one. Who knows? It's my birthday.
Let's hope so.
Without further ado, let's take a quick break. Then we'll play a clip of Darcy and Jesse from the show, and then we'll chat with Darcy. Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started.
Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
The issue is not me. The problem was caused by you.
If you want to change this, you got to seek help. And if you work on yourself, then we can grow into something really beautiful.
Wow. Jesse, I'm just so tired of your mind games. It's not funny anymore.
Okay, then break up with me.
I don't know. Because it's always going to be something, and it's always going to be on me. So my gut is telling me to walk away.
Okay, guys, I'm here with Darcy from Before the 90 Days, my new obsession. Darcy, how are you doing today?
Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You are my favorite part of the show. I'm so obsessed with your storyline, and I know it. I know it must be hard for you because you're living it and watching it, but it is making such compelling TV.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a journey, and grateful for the experience, the good and the bad.
Right. Now, how did you get involved with the show?
There was a casting call. And I saw it. Jesse and I were already talking for a few months prior to that. Right. And wrote a letter to it, said, that I would be interested in doing it. And we got the call back and we did some Skypes and, kind of went from there.
Yeah. Now, what was your relationship with Jesse like before filming began?
It was good, actually. I met him on Inner Circle, which is kind of like a dating networking type app. And prior to meeting him, I was on there because my sister was going to go to Milan to meet her fiance, who's from Albania. Mm. And I was going to possibly take a trip up there to go, kind of, you know, visit and stuff because, you know, Milan, it's one of the fashion capitals of the world and we're in fashion and stuff. So I thought it'd be fun. Obviously, I didn't want to be the third wheel. So I don't know. I just kind of came across this app and, you know, thought I'd kind of network around, you know, people in Italy and stuff and met some great connections and stuff. But I didn't end up going. I ended up scrolling on Amsterdam one day and lo and behold, I saw Jesse and, you know, it was kind of like, oh, who's this guy? Whatever. Kind of liked this photo and he contacted me back and kind of just went from there. You know, he was, you know, intriguing and I guess he liked my personality too and stuff. And, you know, we were just kind of flirting or whatever and kind of went from there, you know.
You mentioned your fashion business. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. House of 11, we started in 2010. We went to LA after our divorces and stuff. And just, you know, really had big visions for ourselves. You know, it's in honor of our brother, Michael, who passed away in 1998 from a rare form of cancer called Ewing's sarcoma.
Sorry.
Thank you. Passed away, you know, unfortunately, it was just, he was a strong, you know, amazing man. And, you know, we honored him and we wanted to do everything kind of in honor of him. And when we went to LA, we had these big visions that we wanted to kind of like, you know, just, you know, bring his legacy to light and stuff. And sure. We started with our first company, which was 11th Entertainment. And we executive produced White Tee, feature film, and some other pilots and stuff. And then we ventured into fashion. And House of 11 kind of came about because, you know, obviously of him. And he was born May 11th, 71, and passed July 11th, 1998. So the number 11 was very significant to us. And, you know, just wanted to hold his honor in that light. So.
And where can people buy it?
Right now, we took the website down. We're rebranding. So we have a lot of couple things in the works right now we're really excited about. But House of 11 was our, you know, higher end tier and brand. We were kind of known for our special leggings and leather goods. We did jackets and dresses and stuff. And then we did a secondary line years later called the Silva Collection, which was like a vegan version of our bestsellers. And, you know, that was in the marketplace, major department stores and stuff. And we had our website. But right now we're just kind of rebranding and everything. So we're just excited for where the future goes with that. So, you know, we kind of dabble in the industry for a very long time, entertainment and fashion. And, you know, we actually launched House of 11 when we opened it in New York City for Fashion Week one year. Bravo featured it on one of their shows. I mean, we did a lot of stuff. We kind of dabbled here and there in a lot of different things. So, you know, I mean, it's always close to our heart. And regardless of whatever Jesse says, you know, I don't listen to that negativity, you know. So, you know.
So speaking about Jesse, the first season you went off to Amsterdam to live with him. Uh-huh. And then the second season he came to the States to live with you, the season that's airing right now.
Well, I didn't live with him. Well, I just went to go visit for 6 weeks at a time. And actually I made three trips to Amsterdam. First time was to see him initially. I was going to go regardless of the show or not for filming, but decided to wait because they wanted to film us meeting for the first time. And I stayed for 6 weeks and, you know, it was, you know, good experience. You know, I was meeting him for the first time and everything. And then, you know, after the show was done, flew back. And then I made two more trips. You know, we went to Greece and, you know, I mean, I really put my heart on the line for this relationship and, you know, I tried my best.
So going into season two and he was coming to the States, were you nervous, more nervous going into season two than season one?
I wouldn't say I was nervous. I was just had my guard up a little bit because I knew we were kind of, you know, a little on and off at the time things, you know, after seeing the first season, I was just like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, you know, what he was saying to me was a lot different than what he was saying on the show. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, is he playing me for a fool or something? So, you know, I was a little guarded at that point. I guess you guys can kind of see that through some of my expressions and, you know, demeanor on the show, whatever. I just, you know, I'm not a fool, whatever. I just was just, you know, I gave him the benefit of the doubt and just, you know, things were very up and down. And, you know, he obviously, I feel at that point was probably coming for airtime. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, my interpretation of it. But, you know, every time I went, obviously the first time was to film, but then the other times I went with no cameras and stuff like that. You know, I just, you know, was showing my respect and my love towards him. I just, you know, things were okay at times, but there was a lot of times that things just weren't good. And, you know, I'm a strong, independent woman, and I think he was a little threatened by that.
Right. And what do you think his motivations were? I mean, I got the impression, too, that he was just coming to be on screen. And you could see in your face you were going to meet him with the excitement of maybe patching things up. So what do you think was his motivation? Is he trying to model over here in the States, or what is he trying to do?
I don't really know. I mean, he's very vague about things that he does,
right?
Business and career wise and stuff. And you know, I was always an open book with him. So, you know, at one point I just stopped, asking him like, oh, you know, what are your motives or whatever. I knew my gut was telling me something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still cared. And, you know, at times, you know, he would say all the loving things I wanted to hear, but maybe that was just a ploy to get his ass out here. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he was dangling the carrot a lot of the times.
I wonder, what advice do you have for someone who maybe in their gut feels that a relationship's not right? What advice would you have for someone like that?
Just listen to your gut, really. I mean, honestly, if you feel that emotion coming through, I mean, you know, do the best that you can, stay strong, love yourself, and don't let anyone take advantage of you.
Yeah. Now, the shoe fight, we saw the shoe fight on camera this season. Can you walk us through that? Because it was a little unclear what happened.
Yeah, that was very embellished on his end. We were filming that day at the Airbnb. We were upstairs getting ready. We had separate rooms that we were getting ready in. I just wanted to say hi, like check in, see how he's doing, and walked in, and the floors were a little cold. They were like wood floors or whatever. I didn't have shoes on at the time and my foot was cold. So I just, he had like some like white sneaker on the floor, and I just kind of like put my toes on it a little, cause they're just cold or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, just being cute or whatever. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? And he just kind of like shoved and like pushed me out the door a little and then like slammed the door in my face. Like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, he was just like, hey, what are you doing? Just got all like grapey about it. And, I just was like, well, here you go. Here's my shoe. Go ahead and step on it. It's $1,000 shoe. Who freaking cares? You know, if you're going to act like that to me over me putting my clean foot on a sneaker, what's the big deal? Here you go. No way in hell did I throw it at his head or eye or whatever the hell he's trying to talk about. And it's really kind of crazy. And that's what like fired me up. He just, you know, just, I think he likes the drama. And I mean, the whole production team and crew was there downstairs. And then he went ahead and was like, oh my God, like, I don't know, just over embellished the whole situation. And it wasn't good. It turned nasty.
Right.
And it was very upsetting for me because I don't like false accusations and stuff. So, you know, of course he's going to deny everything as usual, but you know, I stand strong in my belief and I know it happened. So.
Yeah. We also saw a very interesting fight with the steak when you guys were making the steaks. And you were saying that you worked in restaurants and you said you cut it on a bias. Now, was that just a slip of the tongue or is that, what did you mean by that, the cutting on the bias?
I don't know. It was just in the moment, you know, we were filming all day. The kids were starving. It was getting late. Needed to take them home. They had school the next day. What happened was we went to the grocery store, bought some steaks when we filmed the grocery store scene and stuff. And, they left them in the car or whatever. So the crew brought in a pre-cooked, I guess, another steak that was already kind of cooked or whatever. And they're like, here you go. Now he can act like he's the chef. And I was like, oh, great. You know, it was already a 15-hour shoot day. I was just kind of like, ugh, just want to get this over and done with. You know, I could tell my girls were tired and exhausted and, you know, just we're trying to make the best out of it. So, I mean, there was already things prior in that day that we filmed that was just like, we're kind of triggering each other. So I was just not really in the mood, but I just wanted to make it the best for the kids and everything and, you know, try to have a fun experience or whatever. And yeah, I've worked in restaurants. I lived in New York City for like 8 years back in the day. And I worked in tons of restaurants in my 20s and stuff. So I know how to cut a steak. And I just was like, he was just lallygagging around. I was like, here, let me go. This is how you cut it. Cut it out of bias. I wasn't trying to be like rude or anything like that. I was just like, just wanted to get it done. Right. Get the kids fed and get home in bed. You know, it was just a long day.
Right. Now, I want to talk about how great of a glow up you had between season one and season two. I mean, you lost a lot of weight, but you also got your hair looks fantastic. Your makeup looks great. What did you do in between seasons? Like, how did you get in such great shape?
Honestly, I've just, you know, watched what I was eating and stuff like that. And just, you know, some exercise. And just positive affirmations, positive thinking, visualizing, you know, how I wanted to be and look for myself and, you know, just live the healthiest life that you can. And, you know, I just, I don't know. It just, you know, you got to be happy within yourself. And I'm just, you know, my kids are happy for me. I'm in a good place, positive, and, you know, want to be able to inspire others as well. And I'm in my 40s, you know, it's not easy to lose weight or whatever, but, you know, I transformed and I'm happy with myself. So, you know, he definitely didn't, you know, make me lose the weight. That's for sure. Yeah. But, you know.
Now, you mentioned your kids, and then also I watched a little clip of something online. It was a pilot you and your sister had done from years ago,
and
your father appeared on it. And I wondered what your kids and your dad think of seeing the way that Jesse treats you on camera, because they must feel very protective of you.
Absolutely. Family's always going to protect family. And, you know, we're a very tight-knit family. We love each other very much. And, you know, they want the best for me. They know I deserve better than, you know, what I was receiving from him, you know, emotionally. And it was just, you know, it was difficult. You know, the kids saw a lot. My dad, you know, he lives in China. He's been there for 20 years. And, you know, it was just upsetting. You know, they saw the red flags. I'll just say that, you know, but, you know, a little stubborn at times, you know, when it comes to love. You know, I feel like I gave Jesse a lot of benefit of the doubt, and I wore my heart on my sleeve. And if he couldn't accept my love, then, you know, I needed to walk away. And at times, you know, it was kind of on again, off again a lot of the times. And that's what you guys don't really see. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times that even, I mean, he came a couple times to New York, but obviously we filmed most of those times, but I took him to Florida with the kids and stuff. We did like a road trip, and they saw a lot. They weren't happy about the relationship. They knew I deserved better. And, you know, I decided to just at times walk away, and, you know, we would not talk for a couple weeks at a time. And, you know, sometimes he would try to reach out, email and stuff, and say, you know, I'm going to book a flight to Connecticut to come see you. I'm like, no, you know, I'll reach back out. I'm like, no, that's okay. Save your money. No worries. I'm good. You know, we're not compatible. This is not going to work out. You know, I mean, I don't think he was getting it through his head.
Is there any future for you guys, or is it done?
I honestly feel like I'm done. I mean, maybe we could be friends at some point in time, but I don't know. I think it's, you know, I know I deserve better, and hey, I wish him the best. You know, I've moved on emotionally, and just, I feel happy about it. You know, I'm good.
Would you date someone from another country again? Would you go through a similar experience with a different guy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love, you know, just being able to travel the world and stuff like that. I feel like I have a good connection with people from other countries and stuff. And, you know, I have a lot of friends from different places, and you never know.
Your sister's dating someone from another country, she revealed on the live show.
Yeah.
What advice do you give her?
She's good. She's happy. They're engaged. They're, you know, working on the K-1 visa at the moment for her and Florian. And they're happy. You know, I'm happy for her. It's just, you know, just be careful no matter what. You know, you never know. I mean, still not here yet in the States, but, you know, just love each other and just be honest and open, communicate, and just, you know, don't let anyone take advantage of you.
Right. Now, I want to ask you just some general pop culture questions, because we talk a lot about pop culture on this show. So what's your favorite movie, or a movie that you really love and you never pass up if it's on cable or you're flipping through the channels?
I like the old school movies, I guess, you know, like Officer and the Gentleman, or like, I remember, what was that? The Full Metal Jacket was really cool. I remember seeing that in the theaters, just different varieties, you know.
And how about on TV? What are you watching on TV? Do you watch your show? Do you watch other reality shows?
Yeah, I watch our show. I love our show.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Great. I love, the shows on Bravo. I love Vanderpump. I love, Housewives. And
Who's your favorite housewife?
I love them all. Can't really say. They're all really cool. They all have their awesome personalities. So I respect them all.
Now, I ask everyone this. What's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
Mariah Carey. I don't know. She's really good. I just, I respect what she does. And she's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have one just favorite. I love them all.
And how about if you were choosing Sexiest Man Alive for People magazine, who would you choose? Like, is there an actor or a singer, a guy that you just think should be the sexiest man alive?
I don't know. Let's see. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Yeah, you get back to me. Well, Darcy, thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm loving the show so, so much. So thank you for putting yourself out there. And I know it must be hard to watch back. So I just want to thank you for doing what
you
do.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. And thank you for having me. And I'm good. I'm staying strong and feeling beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy. Have a good one.
You too.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Oh my God, you guys, wasn't Darcy great? Adam, wasn't Darcy great?
She was magnificent. A gem, as I knew she would be.
You know, I'm an independent woman. You know? I love her so much. It was so great. Adam, thank you again so much for being here. I want to do our cool downs. We've been doing these cool downs now. So,
oh yeah, I can use it.
I know. Let's everyone take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Everyone take a deep breath in. Think about a bad relationship you were in. Breathe it out. Now, that bad relationship, we're going to take one more deep breath in, but I want you to really focus on that. That bad relationship didn't have to be a lover. It could have been maybe a toxic friend or a bad boss or a coworker or something like that. I want you to think about it, and I want you to visualize when you're taking that deep breath out, visualize putting that bad energy out of your mind and body. Do you hear me, Adam? Do you get that?
It's out.
Okay, so take one more deep breath in. Hold it. Think of that bad energy and blow that bad energy right out. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you so much. Bye-bye. Rate and review this. If you like it only. Bye-bye.